You have your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 28. It occurred to me this morning in my preparation this morning, it occurred to me that you can't have a resurrection without a death. We'd never celebrate a resurrection if Christ hadn't died. And if Christ hadn't died, there would be no resurrection. His death made resurrection possible for all of us. And I'm not one of these guys that mourn on Good Friday. I start to dance on Good Friday. Because it's not, we get all sad and verklempt, you know. Oh, Jesus suffered, and He did. And I'm thankful for that. I don't want to make any less of that. But He told His disciples again and again, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer 3 days. They'll crucify me. And on the third day, I'll rise from the dead. So whenever we celebrate Resurrection Day, I start celebrating on Friday because I know that without His death, He could have never raised from the dead. And those 3 days were not sad days, man. Those days were, they were sad for the kingdom of darkness. But for the kingdom of light, it wasn't anything but sad. Come on, somebody. He won the keys to hell, death, and the grave. He led captivity captive, the scripture says. So it's a rejoicing time, see? But then when it comes to you and I, we can't have a resurrected life without a death. And I find that throughout my lifetime, if you're anything like me, I find there's lots of times where I've got to die if I'm going to benefit from the resurrected life. A lot of times I want to have personal pity parties, PPPs, for those who don't know. I don't know if you have them, but once in a while I have them, the personal pity parties. Oh, woe is me. I wish I'd had better blessing. I wish I'd done better. I wish I would have done. How many know we can wish our life away? But Christ says, if you'll die to your desires and follow me, I'll give you life more abundantly. So death brings resurrection. Without death, there could be no resurrection. Matthew 28, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. What a great day. What a great day it must have been to see someone that you knew was dead, alive. And not just anybody, the Lord. And his countenance was different. All the same glint in his eye, same bounce in his step. Even in his suffering, Christ was brave, bold, confident. So you can imagine the greeting that he had for the women, rejoice. And that's what we should be doing at all times in every place, even in our sufferings and trials, we should rejoice. Because this thing was won for us. And I want to talk this morning very briefly, 7 things I thought about that the resurrection brought you and I. And it's dance time. See? Number one, and the most important thing, my sin was forgiven. That's very important because it's not sins, it's sin. Listen very carefully now. Our sin nature was forgiven. It died. And so all the sins that we commit are under the blood of Christ when we ask forgiveness. This is dancing stuff here. Because Jesus Christ made provision for us. Acts 13:38 says, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Just as if we never sinned. Justification. That means just as if we never sinned. We are always clean before God when we live a life of dedication, carrying our cross. Whenever we sin, we confess that sin because our sin was taken care of. Come on. This is dancing stuff today. Not a sad thing that Christ did. Christ knew that to live the resurrected life, he must die. But for the joy set before him, Scripture says, he endured the cross. But for the joy set before him. And so sin was forgiven. And number two, and most importantly, in all of the things, death was defeated. See, I don't die. I hate to tell you, but I'm an eternal being standing before you. We talk about the end of life, but it's just the end of this body. It's not the end of me. I just shed my skin waiting for the new one. Come on, somebody. 1 Corinthians 15 says, O death, where is your sting? In verse 55. O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only was my sin forgiven, death was defeated. Ooh, this is dancing stuff this morning. So I was thinking about these things, and one of the things that give us fear of death, that give us fear of the unknown, is old Slewfoot. He likes to come tell us all these terrible things, you know. And we all have doubts. John the Baptist had doubts when he declared Jesus as Lord. When he was in the prison, he had some doubts. He said, you know, go and ask this guy if he's really the real deal. And sometimes, if we're real, we think about this eternity that we're living, and we wonder if Jesus is the right thing. I wonder if he really is going to give us eternal life. And you know who puts those seeds of doubt in our hearts and in our mind? It's Satan. But I got news for you. Satan was defeated at the cross. Not only sin forgiven, not only was death defeated, but Satan was defeated. My Bible says over there in Colossians 2, in verse 15, having disarmed, past tense, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I'm going to be talking about this morning in the later service, that he made a public spectacle of the devil. He didn't do it in secret. Come on, somebody. You don't need to fight your battles in secret because God defeated the enemy. He's under our feet. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Wow. Not only sin, not only was death defeated, but the enemy of our souls is a defeated foe. The fourth thing that was defeated was sickness and disease. That's a little bit tougher because, you know, we face all kinds of stuff in this germ-ridden world we live in. Come on, somebody. There are things that happen to us, but we have to believe that he took every sickness, infirmity, disease, and curse in his own body. That's some of the hardest things to do, is to stand believing that you're healed when you don't see anything manifesting in your body. And you begin to agree with the sickness, you begin to agree with the hurt, and you forget that sickness and disease were defeated at the cross just like sin. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So we stand on that until it manifests. Wow. Come on, I don't see anybody dancing yet. See, not only that, there goes Ricky, he's dancing. Our destiny was secured. I got news for our Catholic brothers and sisters. There ain't no stop between here and heaven. There's not a purgatory. There's not a place where we'll go. We don't grave sleep until Christ, you know, until Christ gets ready for us. Now, I'm not quite ready for you. Just stay in the grave. How many know to be present, to be absent from the body is to be where? And I want to be where he is. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. our destiny was secured at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." Waterproof, sin-proof, sickness-proof. "If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan," verse 4, "being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, an earnest down payment. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So this whole pull that happens, see, our destiny, we get excited because our whole countenance changes when we know where we're going. Come on, I don't get that excited about going over to Kroger. You know, got to stop at the store again. But man, when we're going out to eat, I get excited. See, your destiny changes your countenance. Our destiny is secured. We know where we're going. There's no question about it. There's no doubt in our hearts. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you." This was won for us at the resurrection. And so we don't have to worry about it. We stay excited because we know where we're going. All of this and heaven to boot. No matter what we face today, we know where we're going. It doesn't matter what Satan can do or can't do. He can't do anything to me. It doesn't matter what the world could do to me. What matters is I'm on a destiny, a path of destiny. He has won the place for me. He's secured my home. Nobody can take it. The deed is mine. Come on, somebody. He said he goes to prepare a place for me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to see the mansion. And nobody else can have it. You got your own mansion. Leave mine alone. And we're all through this life, we go, "God, I just need..." We ask so much. "God, I need..." Well, you know, God left a down payment we read just earlier. He left a down payment in us, and that's the Holy Ghost. See, not only was sin forgiven, not only was death taken care of, not only was Satan taken care of, but He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us Him, and He put the Holy Spirit in us so that we have the victory at all times in any place. He's open 24 hours a day. He speaks to us 24 hours a day, in the night season, in the morning, during the day. He speaks to us because He's left something with us, and that's Himself in the power of the Holy Spirit. In John 16, He said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13 says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Wow. What a promise. What a promise. That we don't need to be... The enemy can't surprise attack us if we stay in touch with the Lord. That's what this says. He will tell you things to come. Verse 14 says, "He will glorify Me, for he will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." Wow. Now I'm beginning to feel 10-foot tall and bulletproof, see? Because Christ is in me. And then lastly, and most importantly, what was won at the cross, we are more than conquerors. I have the victory in Jesus' name. So, you know, when we start to talk about Good Friday, man, I get that dance. I went running yesterday. I danced half the way. I said, I know what's going on tomorrow. We're celebrating the most important event in all of history. It wasn't a birth. Wasn't a death. The most important event in all of history was when Christ rolled away the stone with his little pinky, stepped out. I am he that was dead and now alive. That declaration, the most important thing. And he made us more than conquerors. Would you please turn to Romans 8? Romans 8, verse 37. And I'll close because, boy, that food is smelling good. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and I challenge you to do a word study on persuaded. After thorough investigation, after thorough looking, after thorough studying, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! We have been made more than conquerors. That's an awesome passage of Scripture. And Paul is writing this to Rome. He's writing this having suffered and will suffer and does suffer. Yet in all these things, he said, I have been with the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, he says, I am persuaded. I am definitely, without a doubt, my mind is set on these things. Nothing will ever separate me from God. It doesn't matter what it is. He said, it's almost like he's just grasping for things now. When he talks about principalities and powers, he says, nor present things, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. That kind of looks back at Psalm 139 where the scripture says, where can I go from your presence? Where can we go from his presence? If we go to the highest heights, he's there. If we go to the lowest depths of Sheol, he is there. Who can separate us from him? No one. So these things that we talk about, these things that we do, and the traditional things, every year we're kind of bound. I'm kind of an iconoclast anyway. Easter has nothing to do with much anymore. But the resurrection has everything to do, see? We get all caught up, we get sad, and we're like the women that went to the grave. We're going, oh, Jesus, you suffered so much. He said, man, I suffered for you. I suffered for you. Rejoice. I am he that liveth and once was dead. I'm not going to die again. He didn't die Good Friday. He died 2016 years ago. He was really dead. You can't have the resurrection without death. But his death won us all the things that we talked about. 1 John 5, 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So all these things we've won in you, Jesus. Lord, we rejoice in you this sunrise service. God, it was a morning of mourning for those women that went to the grave. It was a surprise to many who were seeking you, Father. But Jesus, you surprised them all when you said rejoice. When you told them to go to Galilee, that there you would meet them, God, they were aside. They were aghast. They were troubled. They shook for fear, God. But Jesus, just as you said to them, you say to us. It is not a time, God, of wondering. It's a time of securing these things. Thank you, God, for securing our life. Thank you, God, for securing our destiny. Thank you, Lord, we rejoice that you beat death, that you beat hell, that you beat the grave, that you beat sickness. All these things, God, you put to our account, and we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.